The first scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, from the New Revised Standard Version. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when divided plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe, people, that there are quarrels among you. My brothers and sisters, what I mean is that each of you say, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollo, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Cephas and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might be empty of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
The final reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. And may God add blessing to the reading of this scripture. There's a true story about a native people who thrived on treachery. This tribe would cordially receive a visitor from another tribe and would prepare a banquet for the visitor and make the visitor so comfortable that they had no concept of what was to come. At the moment when the visitor least expected, the people would turn on him, kill him, and eat him. This was a regular practice. Needless to say, other tribes learned to be very careful about making friends with this people. Missionaries came in an effort to convert this tribe to Christianity, but it was a hard task. When one of the missionaries was telling the story of Jesus to them and got to the part about Judas's betrayal of Jesus, the people cheered, because to them, betrayal was a way of life. Imagine that you were a missionary charged with spreading the good news to all the world, but faced with a dangerous tribe such as this. What would you do? What could you say to a people that valued treachery and betrayal as much as others value honesty and faithfulness? The missionaries finally discovered a way to reach this tribe. There was a tribal custom for making treaties with other tribes called the peace child. In this ritual, a child of the tribe was sent to be raised by a family in another tribe, thus making peace between them. How could they attack when one of their own lived with the other tribe? The missionaries used this tradition to illustrate how God had sent a peace child to earth to establish peace and family relationship with the human race. As a result, this tribe accepted Christianity and gave up treachery as a way of life. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. If anyone is interested, the book that tells the story of this tribe is called Peace Child, and it's by Dan Richardson. Light is a very important theme this time of year. We recently celebrated the Epiphany of Christ, in which the light of the world dispels darkness. And as the days get longer, as we move toward spring, we think about the light of Christ growing in our world as well. The passage from Isaiah speaks of darkness being overcome by light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Assyria had annexed the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, and Isaiah wrote for those Israelites who were oppressed by the Assyrian Empire. The entire passage, including one that we love to sing about at Christmas, "For unto us a child is born," is a coronation anthem that is begun for King Hezekiah, whom the people hoped would be the one used by God to break the yokes of the oppressor, much as God had used Gideon, the judge, to break the yoke of the Midianites in ancient times. God is the divine light which shines upon the darkness and oppression and injustice. In this case, Hezekiah is the one on whose shoulders God placed the authority as the liberator of God's people. God is the light, but it is God's people who are used to convey that light in darkness. As God used missionaries to open the eyes of a violent and treacherous tribe, and as God used Hezekiah to rescue those who were in bondage to the Assyrians, God has always worked through those who are open to being used by God's Spirit. In this passage, Isaiah looks back to Israel's history in the time of the judges to proclaim light in his own day. That proclamation also spoke to a future generation of God's people. Jesus liberated the people of his day from the tyrannies of hunger, blindness, lameness, poverty, and death. After his time, the body of Christ, the church, was to continue this mission. On a cruise from Mexico to Hawaii, A Los Angeles lawyer by the name of John Peckham put a note in a bottle and tossed it into the ocean. 3 years and 9,000 miles later, a Vietnam refugee by the name of Nguyen Van Hoa leaned down from a tiny, crowded boat and picked this bottle out of the South China Sea. Amazed to find a name, address, a dollar for postage, and a promise of a reward. "It gave me hope," said Hua, who had escaped from a prison camp in Vietnam. Safe in the UN refugee camp in Thailand, Hua wrote to the surprised Peckham family. For 2 years, they corresponded. Hua married and had a son. Then the Peckhams agreed to sponsor their immigration. He and his family, in April, they arrived for an emotional meeting and a new life from an old bottle. The hope that this couple gave to this refugee is another example of the light of God shining through another person or people. This is the compassion of Jesus Christ, and this is the light that is still seen through his followers, shining in the darkness and liberating those who are in need with Christ's love and friendship. This is where the true discipleship in Christ is seen as more than merely something which pertains to the afterlife. The light of the world in Jesus' time shone out to those who were around him. And that's the good news the church is called to proclaim today as well. In another story, a foreign correspondent from this country by the name of Ben Robertson was to cover the bombing raids in London during World War II. As he got there, fires were breaking out every place from the bombing. Walls were shattered, crumbling into heaps. Fire engines were blaring everywhere. You could hear the cries of agony of people who had been injured and hurt. It said that for 10 miles all around London, there was just one huge circle of red flame. It was as if all hell had broken loose. Finally, at 1 a.m, the all clear was sounded, and Ben made his way back to his hotel room, which miraculously had not been bombed. He was so nervous and exhausted that all he could do was to fling himself on the bed and to cry out to God. "Oh God, I don't want to live another day. I can't go through another night of hell and horror like this has been. If this is what our modern civilization has brought us to, I don't want to survive. I wish you would just kill me now." He said this, and finally he fell asleep. But in the morning he woke to the sound of music. He got up and looked out the window, which he had left open, and there was a church across the street that had been bombed out in the night. There was rubble every place, but the small choir, the small congregation, and the pastor were all there, and they were singing the song that we're going to be singing in a few minutes. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. He is her true salvation through water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own love he bought her, and for her life he died. Robertson said that he suddenly was swept up by the dramatic, victorious scene of a spirit that had not been crushed by the circumstance. Suddenly he said, "I saw the world as something that was unshatterable, something that had endured through millennia, something that was indestructible, the spirit and the power of Jesus Christ through the church that could stand up to the fires of hell and anything that the human race could throw at it. Even at times when it seems like hell has broken loose, the light of the world illumines us and others. It illumines through us. It is because of the church's call to be the light of the world that Paul was so concerned about what was happening in the Corinthian church. This church was one of the most divided churches that Paul ministered to, that he had founded. In today's passage, Paul pleads with the Corinthians and with us today not to hamper the church's message of light and hope with a party spirit. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same spirit. This is not a plea that there be no differences of opinion, but rather that in the midst of differences, a spirit of unity and a spirit of love be foundational. This is a timely message for today's church as well. Today, some have said in the PCUSA that our beliefs and convictions vary so much that sometimes it's our polity and our system of government that unites us together. At one time, it was the adherence to the Westminster Confession of Faith. That, as important as our church's confessional statements are, we no longer have a perfect unity in deciding how those confessions are understood. Some people seek unity in the church through many of the particular special interest groups that we may have, such as those either advocating for a more traditional or those advocating for a more progressive understanding of the church. The problem with seeking unity here is that they are united only with other people who share their convictions. Special interest groups are not necessarily a bad thing, but they're not going to produce the unity in the church that Paul was calling for. I'd like to paraphrase Paul's words to Corinth as they would apply to our church today. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to you, I belong to those maintaining only the authority of the church's confessions, I belong to those who would unite the church through groups that advocate for one particular purpose. As important as all of these are to one degree or another, there is only one unifying factor in the church, and he is the one who founded it. Diversity is not a bad thing. Our world is diverse, and this is reflected in our church membership as well. But for all our differences, we are united through Jesus Christ and through the unifying power of the Holy Spirit, who gently reminds us in the midst of disagreement that we are a family. We are the body of Christ, sent to take the light of our world and sent to take light to our world in his name, excuse me. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might be emptied of its power. The gospel that Christ calls us to proclaim is the same one with which Jesus called his original disciples. Turn around, which is the Greek word that is translated as repent. We are called to proclaim light to those in darkness, liberation to those who are in bondage, and Christ's love to those who long for it so much. We proclaim Christ's love for the world in so many ways, through telling others what our faith in Christ means to us. We bear witness not to an angry God, but a loving God who liberates and changes our lives for the better. In standing with the poor and those who are unjustly treated, we bear witness to the one who called us out of darkness and into God's great light. By standing together with family, we are united together as well. The call of Christ remains for us as it was for the first disciples. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. We are given the scriptures and the confessions the experiences of our lives as our guide. But the light of the world who unites us and calls us lives within us as we walk in his love. Amen.